You're listening to Sci-Fi for Chicks on Sci-Fi for Me Radio.
Have you been seeing strange things? Things that you can't explain?
We have the ability to see what no one else can. When they lose control, they can't hide. And we see them for what they really are. You are one of the last grips.
Welcome to our inaugural podcast of Grimly Speaking. Today with me is Cami Settle.
Hi.
And we're talking Grimm because Cami is good enough to join me on this. So this is season five, the first time that I'm actually going to do this. I've been covering Grimm for every season that it's been on, every episode, been writing the recaps, and finally decided to jump in and start doing a podcast. So I hope you enjoy what we're going to be talking about. We're talking about the season premiere of season five. The title of the episode was Grimm Identity, which had at least a double meaning. You had, of course, Nick is still a Grimm this season, and Chavez learned that Nick is a Grimm. She didn't realize that he was a Grimm. She thought that only Trouble was a Grimm. So Nick is just getting himself into all kinds of trouble, but this episode picked up right where the season finale ended. Chavez's team sweeps into Nick's house, grabs Trouble, drugs Nick, and apparently takes away Juliet's body.
Oh, and don't forget his mother's head.
Oh, and the mother's head. Although, you know, okay, so here's what we do and don't know. We know that all of those things got cleaned up and taken away. We don't actually know that that was the Chavez team that did that.
Right.
We assume that.
Yeah, well, although her reaction later is that they're the ones who took Trouble.
Yes. But and I'm assuming that they removed Juliet and cleaned up the glass and took away Kelly Burkhart's head in the box and all of that.
Yeah, and drugged Nick because, you know, the opening scene is him having this nightmare.
Right. And he goes through, I kept thinking of them as hallucinations, although because he's passed out, I don't know if that counts as hallucinations or if those are dreams or...
Yes, all of the above.
What you call those. So just a very brief recap here. We've got Nick going through, well, actually he's being made to feel like he's crazy because he gets drugged and then when he comes to, everything is gone. Juliet is gone. Trouble is gone. Blood is gone. Glass is gone. The house is all cleaned up. I wish I had that kind of service available to me.
Yeah, no doubt.
I want to go to sleep and wake up and have everything cleaned up like nothing happened.
Exactly. We need a house elf.
Yes, I do. I really do.
So other than the hallucinations, it was kind of nice to wake up to a clean house.
Yeah, except that makes him feel, I think it makes him feel kind of like he's crazy. And then he has to try to convince Hank that these things have really happened. He drives into the precinct and nearly causes a four-way accident right in the middle of an intersection because his head is still back on everything that's been happening. Probably not a good state of mind to be going into work, especially as a police detective.
Well, so you gotta start somewhere.
He gets into work and then he's basically told to take a forced leave of absence. And it's not a you must turn in your badge sort of thing. It's Renard saying, your head's not in this. You need to take a leave of absence. So what does he do? He goes and confronts Chavez at her office.
Well, what would you do, you know?
I don't know. I mean, it's impossible to say as a normal person how you would react to such unusual and unnormal things going on. I don't think it's possible for any normal person to step back and say, well, I would react like this. Come on. Like, you deal with those kind of things in your real life.
Right.
No.
Well, he's
no
kind of panicked now. He's afraid for Trouble's
life.
Yeah, her life. And so he's got to do something. So he knows these people took her once. They probably are the ones who took her again. And like you said, he goes into Chavez's office and threatens her right there in the middle of the FBI, and which probably wasn't the best plan ever.
Although his second plan of abducting her and taking her to the spice and tea shop, also probably not the best
idea. Well, it was much more successful, though, wasn't it?
Yes, it worked out well for him because, you know, his friends are so loyal that they're like, yeah. Well, first of all, they're like, are you crazy? And then they're like, okay, we'll back you up. Yeah. I want friends like that.
Yeah. Yeah, so he gets his hand slapped a little bit for that one, for going into the office and threatening her.
Yeah, I think primarily because Chavez then calls Renard and threatens Renard. You know, she
just says, I'm going to throw him in jail next time he does this.
Right. And you need to have your people under control.
Right.
She's, you know, chastising him.
Yeah.
It doesn't work out well for Chavez even in the end.
No, but I do think she got a real eye-opening experience. She, number one, she found out that Nick was a Grimm.
Yes.
Number two, she found out that Nick is not the type of Grimm that kills Vessen just on sight. And
right.
He has friends that are Vessen.
And so, that know that he's a Grimm. And that he has police officers working with him that know he's a Grimm.
Right. So he's
and
got
know
this
about
huge
Vessen.
Net of friends that are unlikely for him to have.
Yeah. Unfortunately, she doesn't have time to communicate that to any of her team, I don't think, unless something happened that we don't get to see.
Well, because, something did happen.
Well,
we'll get to that in a minute.
Yeah. Okay. But in the middle of all that, Adeline goes into labor. Nick rushes off to the hospital. Then Adeline has to have a C-section.
Yes.
Then he has to go back because Chavez gets a call.
Yeah, poor Nick. It was like, hurry, hurry, get to the hospital. Hurry, hurry, come and do this. Hurry, hurry, go back to the hospital. It was just kind of silly.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was way too much back and forth for Nick.
And when Chavez dies at the very end, you know, as she says to Nick as she's dying, she says, you can't be linked to this. But let's be honest here. He confronted her in her office. He is the one that abducted her from her home.
Well, nobody knows about that.
Well, okay. But you and I both know that there are security cameras everywhere in cities, right?
Well, the people that, yeah. But the
people, a lot of municipalities have those red light cameras that, you know, and
we'll see if the writers put those in there or not.
I know. Yeah. Well, okay, I can't talk about that. That's in episode 2. Never mind.
Spoilers.
Spoilers. Won't talk about that. Anyway, so the baby is born, and it's a healthy boy. And Adeline, I think this is her olive branch to Nick, because she names the baby Kelly in honor of his mother.
Mm-hmm.
And he was about to argue with her about, shouldn't we talk about the name? And then she tells him, and that just makes everything all nice.
Yeah, I'm having trouble with him being open to this olive branch thing. I understand why Adeline's doing this.
Adeline is always about Adeline.
Yeah, and I just have a really hard time, number one, with Nick being so involved so quickly, and number two, with his friends pushing him to be so involved so quickly. Because let's face it, I mean, this was taken from him and Juliet.
Yes.
This opportunity.
It should have been their baby.
This should have been Juliet.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's just lost her. She's just, you know, in his mind, she's dead. You know,
right.
We don't know where she is because we can't find the body. But, you know, for them to be, oh, you need to be there with the baby. You need to be there for the baby. Well, okay, yeah, it's true that you want to be there when this kid is growing up. But to push him into this right away like this when he's still in mourning?
Yeah, well, and they've just found out that Juliet is probably dead. I'm still in the camp that Juliet may not be dead.
I'll
put that right out there. I've maintained that since the end of last season. I haven't seen anything in the first two episodes to make me really change my mind.
Uh-huh.
And I have a theory about that helps my case.
All right, so
are we ready for theories? We've kind of gotten most of the recap done there, right?
Let's finish up the recap, and then we'll throw to a break, and then we'll come back with theories.
Okay, you talk about the rest of the recap, because I'm not sure what else you want to...
Okay, well...
Oh, you want to talk about the cell?
Yeah. So, when they do take Nick, finally, to where Chavez and her cohorts have something in their holding cell...
Oh, that's not where the holding cell is, I'm pretty sure. That's just a meeting spot. I don't think it's in there. Do you think it's in there?
I think it was there because it killed everybody. Let me back up. So earlier
we see Chavez
visit the holding cell, the secret, top secret bunker type place that they have somebody, something in a detaining cell. And
can we mention that it makes a female sound?
Does it?
Yeah. When it roars to the door at Chavez.
Well, it was really angry.
Yeah,
which can happen with us, you know.
Yeah, woman scorned. Be careful.
Right. So whatever it is, Maya suspects it's female, and it is extremely angry and it is very vicious. So we kind of see that happening before Chavez is abducted by Nick. At the end of the whole, hey, here's all my friends, they're Vesson, they're cops, Chavez realizes that things aren't as she thought, and she offers to, well, she suggests that Nick come with her to see this, whatever it is. They show up. All of her colleagues are dead. They've been slashed to pieces. I think they've come to the holding cell, Maya. I think that she took him wherever that thing was being kept, and it had escaped.
No, because those were several. They killed a minimum of four, and they were the crocodile-like Vesson that attacked them.
Oh,
because he killed more than one. They killed
Oh, that's right. There
I
was
a
skirmish.
Counting.
That's right.
Yeah, I was counting down the bodies, and they killed a minimum of four. One got away, and there was a car waiting for him.
Yeah. Okay. That's right. So yeah, they were ambushed somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
But it would. I think it was. It had to be close to where they were holding this stuff.
Maybe so, but it wasn't whatever was in the cell.
Okay. So is that thing still there?
In the cell?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
What were the slash marks?
That's like a gang sign as far as I can tell.
Okay.
It's like this new Vesson. In fact, we should throw it a break. We'll be back and we'll talk some more about our theories and speculations, our speculations and musings.
Yes, or likely, as we like to say, the S&M section of the program.
Yes, our new section.
Sci-Fi for Chicks will be right back.
Hi, this is Jason Hunt, and if you're one of the dedicated listeners for this show, first of all, thank you. Second, you are sharing with others, are you not? And you should be aware by now, we have many shows as part of Sci-Fi for Me Radio. Our Marvel discussion on Level 117, the DC chat on the Rogues Gallery, Sci-Fi for Chicks talking about various topics, which we also do in mixed company on the Echo Chamber, and H2O, which is our one-on-one discussion between Mr. Harvey and myself, now syndicated over at Amazing Stories Magazine. Sci-Fi for Me Radio is more than one show, and we'd like to invite you to join us for all of it, or at least try it out and see what you think. And also check out Sci-Fi for Me TV. That's our YouTube channel where we have interviews, convention panel video, all part of giving you the most bang for your buck. Oh yeah, wait, no, it's free. So check it out. Sci-Fi for Me Radio and Sci-Fi for Me TV, all part of SciFiForMe.com, your portal to the science fiction multiverse.
The fall TV season is upon us, and you know what that means. Recaps. Join us over at SciFiForMe.com as we dive into new shows and new seasons with our unique blend of dry facts and colorful opinions. We talk about the shows and share our analysis, and you're more than welcome to join the conversation. Fall TV is on! Only at SciFiForMe.com, your portal to the science fiction multiverse.
Sci-Fi for Me Radio. It's better than goofy golf.
Welcome back, and so here we are, and we're going to talk about our theories on this first episode of Grimm. We're also going to talk about what we liked and didn't like, our sort of overall impression. Cammie, what was your overall impression of this episode?
I had a hard time seeing stuff in this episode. The lighting was so dark that, you know, like you said, the crocodile people, well, I didn't pick that up, that they were crocodile people. I just knew they were being attacked by something.
Right.
You know, it was just extremely darkly lit. You know, I'm sure they were trying to set a mood or something, but, you know, at some point you have to show the viewers what you're trying to convey, you know? So please turn up the lighting just a hair.
Grimm has done some, they have had, their lighting people have done some extremely creative lighting things, most of which are not too believable, but because they needed more light in on the shot, you know, they come up with lighting coming from all kinds of creative places, and we needed that in this one too, and not just in that final scene in the warehouse.
No,
the whole episode was dark. The whole thing.
I agree. You know, even the scenes that were in the offices seemed dark to me.
Yep. The offices, the spice shop, even the hospital was dimly lit. You know, it was just the whole thing. It was like they just needed to bring up the gain a little bit.
Yeah.
Give us a little more light and maybe have some more variety between lighter and darker scenes. You know, make that more of a contrast. So, like, the hospital could have been more... could have been brighter, certainly.
Yeah.
And that would have given us more contrast between that. And why is a police precinct so dark?
Exactly.
Saving on electricity. They're being good public servants.
Well, there you go. So what about the future of some of these characters? What do you think?
Which ones are you thinking of?
Well, I mean, you've already talked about your suspicion that Juliet is not dead, and by the way, I agree with you. I think that they've got to bring her back for something.
Okay, and the reason why I never thought that Juliet was dead was, like, the middle of last season, Grimm put out these images on the internet, and it's the core characters gathered around Juliet, who's in this Snow White type glass casket. And there's an IV out of her hand.
Oh.
Which you don't do in a dead body, generally.
Well, let's hope not.
Yeah. I mean, unless you're, like, doing embalming or something, removing fluids. But why would they be? You know, but so she's in this glass casket, and there's a backdrop behind them. I mean, it's very, it's a very set up shot.
Okay.
And it's, you can tell that it's a fabric backdrop, like for a theater.
You think it may because have been a dream or a flashback or something like that?
I don't know, but it hasn't shown up in any of the episodes, and they weren't shooting this season in the middle of last season yet. They get a hiatus, and then they start in, you know, shooting again.
Okay.
So I that was why, you know, and there was all these rumors. Everybody, they kept saying that they were going to kill off a major character. So I've said before that I had thought that that major character was going to be Adeline, and I thought it was going to be for the obvious reasons that she was pregnant and she had just had her own child, and maybe she was wanting some extended maternity leave.
Instead, it looks like it was probably Kelly.
Juliet. Well, or Kelly, yeah.
Yeah.
So Kelly may actually be dead. I mean, one of my theories was that Kelly wasn't even dead, that this was some great big, you know, conspiracy thing going on, and they had this elaborate plan going on. We know that when in last season Trouble was in the truck, and she's in Bud's truck, and she's riding with Bud, and she gets a phone call, and she pretends like it's Nick on the phone in front of Bud, but we can hear that it's a female voice. I now suspect that that person on the other end is actually Chavez. And she and Chavez are working together. When Trouble came into the house, she shoots Juliet, but it's not a deadly blow that we think it is. It's actually some kind of a drug that she shot her with.
Okay, maybe a sedative.
Then the team, something to, you know, something to knock her out, maybe something to take away some of that Hexen Beast. Maybe that's the suppressant. Maybe they have another suppressant. Hexen Beast suppressant.
Yeah. So do you think that this creature in the holding cell is Juliet?
That's my theory.
She's gone bad.
That's my theory. That they are trying to, like, tame her or something, and she is not happy about being in a metal
cell.
Well,
we already know that she's not your typical Hexen Beast.
Right, because she gained her Hexen Beast powers, if you will, in a most unusual way.
Right.
And when they were dragging off Trouble, she's upset because she wanted to be able to explain to Nick, and she didn't want to be drug away that way, and she wasn't expecting them to drug Nick.
Yeah.
And that's why she seems alarmed when they're dragging her away. Not because she's actually being abducted, but because she wanted a chance to explain to him, and she didn't know that they were going to drug Nick. But they don't know that Nick's a Grimm, or they don't believe Trouble or something, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, maybe Trouble hasn't told them.
Maybe. But that's my theory, is that...
Yeah. So why do you Trouble think this group needs a Grimm? Just to get Juliet?
No. There's something, you know, the writers have some great... an overall arc for this season, apparently, okay. And it has to do with a Vessen uprising, and we've got this... If you go back to season 3, I think it was, mm-hmm. there were Vessen that were brazenly going about in
right.
full vogue. There was a
the bank robbery,
robbing banks, mm-hmm. and then I believe they got the council involved on that.
Yeah, they did. I don't recall what happened because
well,
of that, but it was a huge deal to be in full vogue. You know, it's kind of like the Ministry of Magic with Harry Potter. You don't
yes.
show your powers in the general public.
Yeah, the Muggles can't handle seeing
That's
a
right.
flying car.
That's right. And we'd all be in danger if they did. So.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
So that's the overall.
I think that Rosalie might take a more active role on the council this year.
Yeah, well, she apparently has some family background mm-hmm. history with them, so
right.
she would be a logical person to step up. And it's been, you know, on the back internet web stuff, there's talk about Rosalie taking a much more upfront type of role.
Yeah.
On this past week, I was part of a conference call with Claire Coffey, and she was, so it's an interesting conference call because there's one representative from a variety of media outlets getting to ask her a question or two.
Mm-hmm.
I always find it's funny because people are always trying to get her, they always try to get actors to give
give away the plots.
Yeah. It's like, why do you even bother with your question about that? Because you know they can't do that. Anyway, she did talk about the fact that they don't see the scripts more than about a week before they start shooting them.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't really know what's going to be happening to their characters before
right.
that. They don't have a lot more lead. Well, they have more lead than we do because there's, of course, post-production and so forth
right.
that's going on.
Right.
But they really don't know much before they go in to shoot it.
So what other tidbits did she share?
She also shared, because this is something that we talked about when we saw I still call her Baby Diana, at you know in the mm-hmm. season finale last year,
right.
how big that child had gotten.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And I thought that that was just sort of a, you know, oh, we need a bigger child for this episode. We really can't have a baby doing this anymore. No, that's actually very intentional in that Baby Diana is growing up at an alarming rate. Or a magical rate, or, you know,
right. Right.
some
and
sort
do you
of
think
accelerated
that's
rate.
Because of her her mixed heritage?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so she said that she and the staff have been speculating how much bigger Baby Diana is going to be when Claire gets to see it. Well, Claire, Adeline gets to see her again.
Yep.
And so that was fun and interesting for her to talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
She also reiterated over and over again how very grateful she is to have this job, and that's wonderful to hear that an actress recognizes their good fortune and, you know, mm-hmm. and appreciates it. She enjoys working with the whole cast, and she talked about how she and Bitsy, who plays Juliet, are best friends, and, you know, they have a lot of girl time together.
How about they had some fun on these episodes where they were, you know, mortal enemies?
Yeah. And people were asking her because, you know, she's Adeline is concerned about her Hex and Beast powers coming back, and Clara was saying that she looks forward to getting to be the wicked one again. Yeah.
It's no fun being the nice one, right?
Well, she said it was an interesting change of pace, mm-hmm. but she was sort of hinting that, you know, yes, being naughty is fun.
Oh, that's funny. So this baby is part Hex and Beast and part Grimm.
Yeah.
Which will be an interesting thing to see how they're going to handle that in the future.
Yeah, and my question to her was about the evolution of Hex and Beast, because when the whole show started, there wasn't, you know, of course we didn't know any rules of Hex and Beast, but she was basically like the strong, the thug or the muscle for Renard. Ah. Yeah, you know, she would do his dirty work. And then as we've gone along through the various episodes, through the seasons, the definition and the rules for Hex and Beast and all has become much more defined and specific.
Yeah,
and so I was asking her about
consistent.
That. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was asking her about that evolution. I wanted to know, and also, you know, was that a collaborative thing or just do the writers dictate exactly how that happens? And it appears that it comes specifically from the writers. It's not a collaboration. She doesn't get to sit around with them and go, so I really think that a Hex and Beast ought to be able to do mm-hmm. this or that. No, it's given to her by the writers.
Right. So one more thing that I kind of want to touch on, because I've been catching up with old episodes, like from first and second seasons.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I really loved the Hunt for the Keys story.
Oh, yeah.
And they just kind of, that just went into oblivion. They kind of just forgot about it and dropped it. And I would love to see that come back, because I really wanted to see what those were hiding. So,
yeah,
you know. And then the coins were something that they had, like this plot device. The coins, it was a big deal. All of a sudden, they're just gone.
Yes. Yeah. And Kelly Burkhart took the coins.
Uh-huh.
And at least in theory, took care of them, whatever that means.
Right. So, and maybe she just destroyed them. Who knows?
I don't think they can be destroyed. They're a bit like the ring in Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
So maybe she had to
go just take it to Mount Doom, you know, and toss
it. Yeah, yeah. Maybe that may be exactly what she did. I don't know. I mean, we didn't get to see that story.
This is true. And that's what I'm missing, is that they just let these storylines kind of just die off and, oh, yeah, and then that's done.
Yeah.
So I'd love
to see. Just die. Yeah. I mean, there are things going all the way back to the first season. It happened over and over again. And I suppose some of them, there was an episode with a queen bee, and when she died, she was saying, you know, gave this dire warning that bad things were coming and all of that. And I guess in many ways, we have seen a lot of the fruition of that.
Sure.
But it wasn't followed through for a long time, and there was no way to know what exactly she was talking about. Was she talking about the zombies? Was she talking about the keys coming up? Was she talking about the coins? You know.
Gee, she's an amazing seer. Bad things will happen. Stay tuned.
Okay, and you know what? If you're talking to a Grimm,
uh-huh.
wow, that's an easy
that's
one,
right.
huh?
That's an easy one to predict. That's right.
That's cool. Sort of like the fortune teller who says, you will have some good times. You will have some bad times.
Yes. Well, don't we all?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Are we on to our speculations and musings, our S&M?
I think we kind of did some of that.
We kind of did that, yeah.
Yeah.
What are you looking forward to for this next season, or the next episode, and the season in general?
You know, I really want to find out what's behind door number one. I think it's Juliet. I think she has somehow changed.
Oh my gosh, Nick will never want to be with her.
They have really agitated her in a way that maybe is unrecoverable. But it's going to be interesting to see. I do think she's coming back, and that's what I'm looking forward to, is seeing that story progress. The whole Nick and Adeline baby thing is just kind of ho-hum for me. I hate to be heartless, but I really don't care. I mean, I think it's interesting. The baby will be an interesting story to see what he becomes.
I wonder if there's going to be a sibling rivalry between Diana and Kelly.
And you and I have talked about this offline, but Diana, of course, is going to be the queen.
Possibly, yeah, because we've talked about now that the king was thrown out of the helicopter, who is next in line? Is it Renard, or is it baby Diana, or is there
some other cousin besides Kenneth who just died? You know,
right? They got framed for the Jack the Ripper murders.
Yeah, they have cousins twice removed or something that are
yeah.
Who knows?
Still upset I think, that Renard killed Henrietta.
Yes.
I love the actress, and I love the character, and
I did too.
She was a wonderful, warm addition to the whole cast, and they would do well to. I guess I can't really bring her back, but to add somebody like that.
Yeah. No, I liked having her as kind of the expert, the go-to expert for Hex and Beast type stuff.
She was like your wise medicine woman.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, and now we're back to Rosalie being the apothecary.
Apothecarist, whatever you call that. Yeah.
And we've got Monroe, who has a lot of history. I mean, they're kind of your go-to experts. And then, of course, the books. We don't have the books anymore.
No, we have like a book.
Part of a book.
A book. Yeah, they saved what they could. Right.
Well, we hope that you've enjoyed today's discussion. But if you need to look for the recap in writing, Maya does these recaps every week on scififorme.com. What else are we working on, Maya?
We're working on, I don't know if you're going to be able to join me, but I'll be back for the podcast of S.H.I.E.L.D. on Tuesday.
Absolutely. So join us for a level 117 recap. And, you know, we typically digress a lot about Marvel and other stuff while we try to recap Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Exactly. Well, we do have this, as Heather calls them, the Stinky Boys, and they dive into all kinds of universes that you and I know basically nothing about.
Yes, well, you know, that's why we're there, is to bring them back into the actual reason we're there, which is
to
talk about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And then starting November 1st, I'll be recapping The Librarians. These will be articles on scififorme.com. And this is one that I have a lot of fun with because I'm able to incorporate tweets that happen during the show. And so if you're a fan of The Librarians, if you tweet during the show, come back and read the article, you may actually see your tweet featured.
I think that's a really fun format that you've been using on that.
Yeah, I've had a lot of fun with it. In fact, we get tweets from some of the actors in the program.
That's awesome.
Too. I had one from William Shatner, or at least I think it's William Shatner. But yeah, they have fun tweeting back and forth during the show too. So they're very engaged.
That's good. And then we also take part in some of the Women of Genre, the Sci-Fi for Chicks audio podcast. And that's fun as well.
Absolutely.
We're just a fun couple of gals.
We stay busy, don't we? So we'd love to hear from you if you have any comments, tips, pointers. If you want to get involved, just let us know what you think. You can email scififorchicks@scififorme.com. You can call the hotline at 573-42-72-434.
Which is...
say that again. 573-427-2434.
Sci-fi. Well, the last part spells
yeah,
sci-fi.
Yeah, that's 573-42-SCI-FI.
Yeah.
And on Twitter, it's at Sci-Fi for Chicks. So you can subscribe to Sci-Fi for Chicks on iTunes or the podcast platform of your choice. Finally, we would love to thank our listeners. Love to hear from you and hear what you think. And so with that, we will say sayonara, and we will see you next week. Right?
This is Cami Settle saying...
Oh, yeah.
No. Say goodbye.
No, this is Cami Saddle saying.
Yeah. So.
See you next week.
Yeah. And this is my aide saying bye for now.
Ta-ta.
This has been a presentation of SciFiForMe.com. Copyright 2015 by Flaming Dog Media, LLC. All rights reserved. No portion of this program may be retransmitted without the express written consent of Flaming Dog Media. This is Sci-Fi for Me Radio.